All right, we're 2 Kings 17 this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back in the book of Ezra next Sunday morning, Sunday school. We were last couple of weeks back taking a look at a matter of worship, how worship was restored by the people of God, the remnant that went back to Jerusalem and Judah. And we got off on a side trail talking about this matter of worship. And this is the second week of looking at the side trail. So 2 Kings 17. Was everybody with us last Sunday morning on this? Anybody not with us? Okay. Well, you're familiar with the scripture then. I'm not going to take time to read this passage of scripture. I'm just going to talk about it for just a minute and remind you of what we see going on here in 2 Kings 17. The nation of Israel has, we're talking about the northern 10 tribes, have been taken into captivity by Assyria. And Assyria brought in some people who are not familiar with the area to take up residence there in Samaria area, and they didn't know the manner of the Lord. They didn't fear the Lord, and the Lord sent lions among them and slew a lot of them. And so the king of Assyria said, you know, the problem is we don't know the manner of the God of the land. And the Lord sent these lions because we don't know the manner of the God of the land. So they brought in some priests who, by the way, when you think about it, just a little bit, it gets a little comical. It's really sad comical. But here they bring in these priests who really weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing to begin with. And the people of Israel weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. And that's the reason why God allowed them to be carried into captivity. But yet they bring these spiritually defunct people and priests to show them the manner of the God of the land. And when you think about that, it's like if they had been worshiping properly, none of this would have taken place. If they had been doing what they were supposed to do, they would not be in captivity. But last week we looked at the matter of when is worship unacceptable to God, and we said that when it's based on the wrong kind of fear. Now see, these folks only had a fear of the lions. Okay, they had a fear of what was going to happen to them physically. They weren't really fearing the Lord in a proper manner, because they were fearing the Lord because of what the bad things that were going to happen to them. It was based on trouble, fear only in the face of trouble. And that's the way a lot of folks are today. They only fear God whenever they're facing trouble. You know, something happens. Oh man, they find a preacher. They start praying. They might even come to a worship service. What are they doing? Well, you know, in the face of evil, in the face of bad things happening to them, when they face trouble, they're trying to find God, but it's the wrong kind of fear. We also said that when is worship unacceptable to God? When it's based more on form than on substance. In other words, you know, just going through the formalities of, singing the songs, sitting and listening to the, your heart's not really in it. Okay? It's just you do with your body, go through the motions of the religion. The head's involved, but not the heart. Body instead of spirit. God wants our spirit involved. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then we said, thirdly, when it's based on futile efforts, that is trying to fear God and serve other gods. straddling the fence. Now, I want God when everything's going bad, but I really want to serve my flesh, or Baal. Baal is a god of flesh. It appealed to the flesh to serve Baal. Just think about Baal being flesh. And today people want to do what flesh wants until something that bad happens, and then they try to fear God, but to fear Him in the wrong way. Now today we want to move to the second question I posed, and that is, when is our worship acceptable to God? Or what is acceptable worship? Look at verse number 26. And let me remind you here what verse 26 says. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Now, proper worship involves knowing God personally. See, the real problem is they didn't know God. They said know the manner of the God, but they didn't know God. That was the bottom line. Knowing God personally is more than just knowing the manner of God. You see what I'm saying? A lot of folks may know some of the manner of God, but they don't know God personally. Look at, hold your place there, and look at Matthew chapter number 7 for just a moment. Matthew chapter number 7. Jesus mentioned a group here. On the outward basis, looking at them, you would think, hey, well, these folks are pretty religious. They seem like they got it all together. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Look at Matthew 7, verse number 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. This is in the Sermon on the Mount given by our Lord. We see in Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And it's not a matter of what you say, it's a matter of what's in the heart, isn't it? Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Is that a good thing? Yeah. We say, hey, they must have something going on. They're prophesying in the name of the Lord. And in thy name have cast out devils. Look pretty religious to me. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, knowing God personally is more than just knowing the manner of God. Knowing the manner of God is just knowing about Him. Okay? Knowing the manner of God is just knowing about God. There's a lot of folks who know some things about God. Now, I learned about God as a little child growing up in Sunday school. I learned a lot about God. But it wasn't until I was 14, almost 15, I was just 2 months lacking being 15 years of age when I came to know God personally. I went from knowing about God, knowing the manner of God, to knowing God. Now understand, knowing the manner of God is just knowing about Him. Understand, that can be a good start. If somebody begins to know the truth about Him, the Holy Spirit of God can use that to lead them to actually knowing Him. You know, I thank God for growing up in Sunday school and learning a lot about God, learning the verses, you know, and those verses being hid in my heart. Eventually, for the reason I came to know the Lord. You know, I thank God for that. But that's not always the case. You know, some folks are like the ones that Paul told Timothy about in 2 Timothy 3:7, who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I can't tell you the number of people during the time of my ministry that I've been back to over and over and over again, trying to get an understanding of the gospel in them. It's like the light just wouldn't go on. Now, whether it was that they were resisting the truth, or they were blinded by Satan, or a combination. But lost folks can come to know that God wants them to get saved without ever getting saved. You ever seen somebody like that? Yeah, they know they need to get saved, but they don't get saved. But I want you to listen. Believers can know the manner of God in some areas without applying what they know too. I can't tell you the number of Christians who, as being their pastor, as being a man of God, them telling me that they're Christians. I inquire about their Bible reading, their prayer life, their church attendance, their witnessing, their tithing and giving, and they know what they need to do, but they're not doing it. Saying they know the manner of God, but they're not really applying what they know. Those who have applied what they know of God in those areas that I just mentioned and more, they come to know God experientially. As you do what the Lord has told you to do, we know that we need to read the Bible, read and study the Bible, right? As you read and study the Bible, does God become more real or less real to you? More real. Man, the more I'm in this book, it's like, wow, what a God. When you pray and God answers prayer, sometimes we get amazed, don't we? Well, look at what God did. Well, we prayed, didn't we? Church attendance. Can I tell you, one of the greatest factors of me being where I am today is my parents' stickler for being faithful to church. I mean, we were there every time, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings, you name it. They were there, and I was there because they were there. And it wasn't Mom, Dad, I think I'm going to stay home and watch the playoff game tonight. I'm not going to go to church. You dare not play like you're sick, just to stay back and watch the game. They read right through that. That being in church and being encouraged by a preacher to, hey, take notes. You need to write this down. You need to underline that. You need to highlight that. Don't forget that. My Bibles were marked all up. I had sermon notes in the margins, and every time I'd go through that passage of scripture, it brought to mind that message. Amen. Just did what would help in those areas. I came to know God experientially through those things. Tithing. A lot of folks have not gotten to the point where they can trust God to tithe. And it's sad. They can't learn the little truth that, God can make the 90% go a lot farther than you can make 100% go. That's a truth. God, if you'll tithe, God will bless. He just will. And you can know that experientially if you just start tithing, if you don't tithe. But I thank God for those that tithe and give to the Lord, and you come to know God's blessings experientially. So it's possible to know the manner of God without ever really knowing Him. Knowing God personally is a two-way relationship, isn't it? You knowing God in a personal way and God knowing you in a personal way. These folks that we just read about in Matthew 7, God said, I never knew you. Yeah. You know God, and God knows you. Now, how does this happen? How is it possible for someone to come to know the God of the universe? Well, it's not through religion. It's not through reciting a bunch of gobbledygook that nobody understands. It's not through meditation. Understand that God wants folks to know Him. You know, God's not in the business of trying to hide Himself from you. He wants you to know Him. Jeremiah 29:13, He said, "Ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." See, the problem is that Satan gets folks sidelined. He gets them sidetracked, I should say. The world is so, got such a draw on people that they don't take time to search after God. They don't take time to seek God with their heart. Hosea 6:3 says, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Do you know the Lord? See, to know God, one must hear from Him. It's what Romans 10:13-14 talk about. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Yeah, they got to hear from Him. John 8:47, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Jesus told that to a religious group. They didn't hear God's words. John 10:27, Jesus spoke about His sheep. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, they follow Me." We know that to know God, one must be born again. Amen. What have we been talking about born again? Born of the Spirit, born from above. It all means the same thing. Born of God. John 3:3, Jesus answered, said unto Nicodemus, you know, unto him, he was a very religious Pharisee. Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he got a little more pointed with him later and said, "Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again, Nicodemus." To know God, one has to know Him by faith. We know God. We come to know God by faith. Hebrews 11:6, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Back to that seeking. Say, you seek for Me, you'll find Me when you seek for Me with all your heart. Well, he said, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But Satan's got folks sidetracked with the pleasures of sin and the rewards of wickedness, the pleasure that comes along with that, and they're not seeking God the way they should. So proper worship involves knowing God personally. Secondly, proper worship involves a proper knowledge of God's ways. There, verse number 28 of our text, 2 Kings 17:28, "Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord." Proper worship involves a proper knowledge of God's ways. As we said, John 4:24, "God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Now we know that God's ways stand in stark contrast to the way of the wicked. Right? We think about the way of the wicked for a moment. Proverbs 4:19 says, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Proverbs 12:26, "The way of the wicked seduceth them." See, Satan not only has folks blinded, they're in darkness, but that way that they're walking in just draws them into deeper darkness. And it seduces them further away from God. Proverbs 15:9 says, "The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but He loveth them that follow after righteousness." And we know that eventually the way of the wicked, he's going to turn upside down, according to Psalm 146 and verse number 9. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 6. Jeremiah chapter number 6. That's the way of the wicked. Let's talk about the way of the Lord. Because the way, God's way stands in stark contrast to the way of the wicked. Jeremiah 6, two verses here. God was trying to get Judah to understand what he couldn't get the northern 10 tribes to understand. We know what happened with the northern 10 tribes. They got carried into Assyrian captivity. Well, he had the same trouble with the southern boys. You know, them Yankees didn't get a hold of it, but the southern boys didn't get a hold of it either. And we know they eventually got carried away into Babylonian captivity. Look at the way of the Lord, what it says in verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord. We're in Jeremiah 6, verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And I set watchmen over you, the prophet, talking about the prophets, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken. Think about the way of the Lord for a moment. The Apostle John put it this way in 1 John 1:4. He said, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. Proverbs 10, verse 29 says that the way of the Lord is strength. Strength to the upright. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Yeah. You want strength or you want destruction? Should be an easy choice. But again, Satan has folks blinded. Hosea 14, 9. Who is the wise? And he shall understand these things. Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Proper worship involves knowing God personally. Secondly, proper worship involves a proper knowledge of God's ways. And thirdly, proper worship involves total dedication with the whole heart. Total dedication with the whole heart. Back in our text, look at verse 29. Okay, they've sent this priest, a priest that they had carried away into captivity. There in verse 28, we just read, brought one back to teach him how to fear the Lord. What was the result? Verse 29. Howbeit, what does that mean? It means they didn't pay attention to what he said. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And it talks about the various gods there in verses 30 and 31. And I'm not going to read that because there's some big names there. But it talks about the, you know, this group made this god, and this group made the other god. It's just the names of the people and the god that they were serving. Okay. Verse 32 is the conclusion here of the matter. So they feared the Lord. Actually, they feared the lions. Okay, they feared what the Lord would do to them. They didn't really fear the Lord. They feared the Lord and made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests of the high places which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and served their own gods. I don't know about you, but that's just mind-boggling, isn't it? Until you think about our day and time, this is exactly what people do today. They fear the Lord when it's convenient. But they, most of the time, they're serving their own gods. After the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. You know, God's not pleased with half-hearted or divided heart worship of Him. Some folks come to His services already filled with their other gods. I mean, they've been serving their other gods all week long. And they just can't wait to, you know, let's get this thing over with so I can get back up there to my other gods. Am I right? I mean, and that's usually the attitude of folks that are not wholeheartedly into God. It's like, let's do our little Christian thing and make sure that God's not upset with us and that we don't have any lions coming our way, whatever your lions might be. Now, let's make sure we don't have any consequences for not serving the Lord. We'll go serve the Lord half-heartedly. But let's get on back out to our other gods. Look at Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. I'm going to take a look at the first four verses here. Deuteronomy 13, verse number 1. Deuteronomy 13, 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, notice, to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him and keep His commandments and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and notice, and cleave unto Him. That's wholehearted, isn't it? Wholehearted. Look at Jeremiah chapter number 3. Jeremiah chapter number 3. And we're going to take a look at verses 6 through 10 here. Because it's talking about what we're reading there in 2 Kings 17. And talking about the time before that led Israel, the northern ten tribes, into captivity to begin with. The whole problem came in that they didn't follow after the Lord wholeheartedly. They were serving other gods. They were involved in Baal worship. They were involved in the things that didn't please God. God allowed them to be carried away in captivity. Now, should the southern tribes, should they have learned something from that? Well, this is what this is talking about. They should have learned. Look at verse 6. Jeremiah 3, verse 6. The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel, that's the northern boys, hath done? She has gone upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. In other words, the southern boys saw what God had done up there with the northern boys. Verse 8, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce, yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. I didn't learn the lesson. God gave them a lesson, just the same way God gives us a lesson, right? He gives us a lesson all the time. The Word of God, we've got all kinds of examples in here of what to do and what not to do. But do we learn from them, or do we just go ahead and repeat the past mistakes? Verse number 9, and it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land, committed adultery with stones and with stocks, and yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. They should have looked at the northern boys and say, well, that's what half-hearted worship would get to you, give you. you know, it'll get you carried away in captivity. And they should have said, hey, we're going to follow the Lord with the whole heart. But they didn't do it, did they? And what happened to them? They got carried away into captivity too. Just a different direction. Nor the boys went to Assyria, they went to Babylon. Psalm 119, verse number 2, says, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me, and we shall search for me with all your heart. Deuteronomy 6:5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. In fact, Jesus said that that was the greatest of the commandments. The greatest of the commandments, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Wholehearted love, wholehearted worship. Back in our text, number 4 thing. Proper worship not only involves total dedication with the whole heart, but proper worship involves listening to and obeying God. Notice verse number 36. 2 Kings 17, verse 36. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, Him shall you fear. Now in their minds, they should have gone back to their forefathers who had spent 400 years in a place in Egypt there, and they were in bondage, great bondage. And they cried out to the Lord to deliver them, and the Lord delivered them with that strong, stretched-out arm. And they've heard these stories over and over again from their parents, grandparents. The stories were passed along. Of course, they were recorded in the Torah by Moses. But he's reminding them of this. The Lord brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and you know, he with His great power and stretched-out arm, Him shall ye fear, Him shall ye worship, to Him shall ye do sacrifice, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which He wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore. Ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant which I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God ye shall fear, and He shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. Howbeit they did not hearken, but they did after their former manner. Didn't listen. Verse 41, so these nations feared the Lord and served their graven images, both their children and their children's children, as did their fathers, so do they unto this day. Bottom line, they didn't get it. They didn't get it. And there's a lot of folks today who just don't get it. They don't get it. Proper worship involves listening to and obeying the Lord. And folks think that they can willy-nilly go about disobeying the Lord and there's no consequences involved. Listen, we need to hear with our ears. Mark 4:23, the Lord said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. We need to hear with our ears. But we need to hear with our minds. We need to have our minds engaged while we're listening. Amen. You need to think about what you're hearing. In fact, Jesus said, take heed what ye hear in Mark 4:24. And in Luke 9:44, He said, let these sayings sink down into your ears. But we need to hear with our hearts. Okay, hear with the ears, hear with our minds, hear with our hearts. That's why Luke 8:18, He said, take heed therefore how ye hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Hebrews 2:1 says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things that which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Have you turn one more place and we'll be done. James 1. James 1. James 1 and verse number 19. James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be, and you ought to underline this, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Very first thing there, swift to hear, right? Be quick to hear what the Lord says. For the wrath of man, there verse 20, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We need to hear with our hearts. Now be honest, and what kind of worship do you worship the Lord with? We all need to examine our worship, don't we? We just do. And you know, is your worship acceptable to the Lord? Is it just a routine? Is it just an outward form? Is it just something you do? Or is it truly from the heart? Number one, do you know Him personally? Okay, it'll never be from the heart unless you know Him. Number two, are you acquainted with His ways? If you're acquainted with His ways, are you walking in His ways? Walking in His ways. Are you worshiping Him with your whole heart? And are you taking the time to listen to Him and obey Him? Amen. Well, I trust it's been a help to you in knowing what worship is not acceptable and what worship is acceptable. And like I said, Lord willing, we'll get back into the book of Ezra next week. I reserve the right to get sidetracked from time to time. Okay. The Lord gives the direction to do so, and He did. So, all right, we'll get back to our study in the book of Ezra, Lord willing, next week. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the time we've had together in the Sunday school hour. Lord, help us to seek You with our whole hearts. Help us to listen. Help us to obey. Lord, not let it go in one ear and out the other. Help it to affect our minds and affect our hearts. Lord, that we might be better servants for You. And Lord, help us to worship You in the right way today. And I pray that as we come together to worship, our hearts will be melded together, Lord, in adoration and praise of You, and Lord, looking to hear from You today. Just have Your will in the coming service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.